Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic, the podcast dedicated to all things strange and paranormal. You'll have to excuse me, I am trying out a brand new mic on here, so there may be a little bit of feedback, but we shall see as this episode goes along. It's one of my favorite times of year, officially fall and Halloween season, and of course, we cannot do Halloween season without diving into the paranormal. And I'm going to announce that October, we are going back to our roots. So it will be all things spooky, haunted, creepy stories, maybe an alien story or two. But we're definitely going to be diving head in all month. Nothing but paranormal and horror on this show for the month of October. But I do want to send a big shout out to my guest last week, the beautiful Juliet Chevelle, who I absolutely loved talking to. We even had a great conversation off air, and she is just an amazing human being, well worth following, and oh so talented. So definitely keep following her and watch that movie she did called Nova, which you can see for free on streaming platforms. And of course, to my beautiful dear friend Sky, who is also starring in that movie. She is amazing as well. I love Sky with all my heart. But have to also send a very special shout out to my cousin Bobby, who is very generous, and he is one of my new subscribers. And he's just a great guy, a toy fanatic like myself. So it is genetic. It does run in our family. And Bobby, I'm going to have Kenny from the toy department back on in November. And we will do a special toy related episode dedicated to you, my man. But I want to do a mailbag episode today because, again, I get a lot of questions and a lot of these, I think just about all of these, are very Halloween season-esque, very spooky, or just have that hint of the Halloween season in them. So let's just get right into it. Rita from New Jersey asks, I'm not a Catholic, but recently my boyfriend was having trouble in his home on a spiritual level, and he brought a St. Michael statue into the home. He said from the minute he brought it into the apartment that he heard the sound of what could be described as a gunshot, and the activity stopped. And not just subtly, the activity stopped completely. Have you ever heard of this before? Well, Rita, I am a Catholic, so I'm definitely of the belief that St. Michael is a very powerful saint to bring into your home, especially when there is spiritual activity going on. And St. Michael in the Bible is prophesied to be the one who basically squashes the head of the serpent. St. Michael is God's right-hand man, if you will. So to bring a statue into the house that is known to have activity, and then suddenly you hear that gunshot, which, by the way, the sound of a gunshot is heard in many homes that are experiencing demonic activity. And then when it is exorcised, there's an exorcism performed. The sound of a gunshot is very common to hear. So the fact that he heard that type of sound and then the activity suddenly stopped certainly indicates to me that he was most likely experiencing a negative infestation. And I'm glad it's gone. So please keep that St. Michael statue in his apartment. Thanks for writing that, Rita. John from Wisconsin asks, is the Blair Witch a true story? Yeah, it is based on it's based on a true story called the Bell Witch. In the 1800s, a man named John Bell moved into this area. I believe it's South Carolina. It's Adams County, It's either, I think it's South Carolina. I could be wrong on the state, but in any case, it as you can see, I don't have any notes prepared. So I'm kind of riffing on this, but I know it's Adams County. I believe it's South Carolina. I could be wrong on the state, but in any case, he moved in and there was strange activity occurring in his home. He was hearing voices. He was hearing disembodied sounds. He was hearing creaks and eventually the sound of this woman. And it was determined that the sound of the woman was most likely his former neighbor named Kate Batts. And they had a dispute over land, I believe it was. And she more or less hexed the family, the Bell family, and said, I will come back. I will, torment you. And that is supposedly the origin of the Bell Witch, and hence they took that and made it into the Blair Witch, which I believe was taking place in Burkittsville, Maryland in the film. Again, I could be wrong, fact check me on that one, but that's the nutshell version. Number three, Amy in Nevada asks, have you ever been to the Warrens Museum, otherwise known as the New England Society for Paranormal Research? No, I have not. And I was going to in the early 90s. I actually have a handwritten correspondence from Lorraine Warren when I was inquiring about visiting the museum in the 90s. That's when her and her husband Ed were still alive, and this was way before the Annabelle movie. So this was before like the entire world knew who Annabelle the doll was. But I am very proud to say that I knew all about Annabelle and all about the objects in their museum well before it became this blockbuster franchise. And they were basically offering tours of, if you had like a group of like five people or more, you could come to their museum and tour it, and they would take you down personally, most likely Ed, most of the time, and just tell you all about the objects in their museum, which of course you cannot touch or make contact with, especially the doll Annabelle, the Raggedy Ann doll. But I deeply regret never having gone. Because here, I have to find that letter somewhere too that I got from her. That was back when you had to write snail mail. But she was very gracious, and they explained like how the tours worked. And I don't know if you can tour the Warren Museum today. I do know that obviously their son-in-law runs it. And if you contact the New England Society for Paranormal Research, you might be able to arrange a tour. I am not sure, but hit up their website nonetheless. Question number four, Laz, I think that's how you spell it, from Norway, or pronounce it, I should say, L-A-A-S, from Norway. I have to admit, that's the main reason I included this question, because I just love that there are people all over the world who get, who listen to this. I'm so honored. Do you believe in trolls? No, I don't. But I believe in like internet trolls, but I don't believe in, the physical creature of a troll. But I definitely believe that there are demonic entities who can pose as beings who certainly can resemble a troll. But I love that is so it that that trolls are so in the lore of places like Norway, and that it's a big part of their culture and identity. I think that's awesome. My favorite childhood book in the world is called Favorite Tales of Monsters and Trolls. So I'm definitely on board with giving heavy praise to trolls. But no, I don't think they're actually real. That's just my opinion. Ghostly in PA, or Ghosty in PA, says, do you own a thermal cam and are they worth it? I do not own a thermal cam. Obviously, they're a huge part of ghost hunting and ghost hunting equipment. They're definitely, if you have the means and want to buy one, absolutely go for it. I mean, they basically give off both indications of heat and cold spots. So they're very valuable in ghost hunting. I mean, you can look through a room and see where there are, you know, heat sensors and where there are pockets of cold, and you know, they can let you know if there's a sudden temperature drop or if something in the room fluctuates in temperature. And many times some overwhelming compelling evidence have been shown as a result of work on the thermal cam. I just personally, I'm a lot more old school. If I go to like snoop something out, I literally just bring a camera, like a voice recorder, and sometimes like divining rods and like night vision glasses. That's it. So you definitely consider me, you can consider me like the Amish of ghost hunting, ghost hunters, because I mean, there are people out there who bring every piece of equipment under the sun, like ghost boxes and everything else you can think of. But I mean, thermal cams are great. Definitely, are they worth it? Yeah, especially if you're seriously looking into ghost hunting, absolutely go for it. Number six, Joe in Ohio said, I loved your episode with Kenny. What is your, Kenny is, of course, from the toy department in Fairfield, Ohio, and we had lots of fun talking with Kenny. He is coming back in November, and he's a great guy. But how this makes it a Halloween question is because of the following line. What is your favorite monster toy line? Joe, awesome question. I love that I could sneak a toy question into the mailbag. My favorite toy in terms of like monsters go were the Universal Remco monsters. They came out in 1980 and they had the coolest lineup. It had Dracula, Frankenstein, the creature from the Black Lagoon, and the Wolfman. And they also had glow-in-the-dark features with Dracula and Frankenstein, and they had a second creature from the Black Lagoon who could glow in the dark. It was really cool. I actually had all of them, and I regretfully sold them. And they even came in this cool carrying case that you could buy. Yeah, I might have to rebuy those, but they're just cool as shit. I also recently, I don't know if this qualifies as a monster toy line, but I reacquired the Kraken toy from the movie Clash of the Titans, which was also an early 80s film. But it's so cool. It's got like four arms. It's badass. I got an unbelievable deal on it from this lady on Facebook Marketplace. And I paid about a very small percentage of what it's actually worth. So I was very, very happy to be reunited with this figure. I should put a picture of it up for those who know me so you can see it. Maja in New York, or no. Maya in New Mexico, I'm not wearing my glasses. Is the Lizzie Borden house haunted, or is it just notorious by reputation? My buddy Steven, he's like a brother to me, and I went to the Lizzie Borden house in Fall River, Massachusetts. And I can tell you, I think Steven would agree, that place is definitely haunted. Not only does it give off just that energy when you walk in the home, but we were fortunate enough to be shown the basement. And downstairs in the basement of this home is the image of the father, I believe his name was Andrew Borden, who died, is literally imprinted on the wall. And it looks like him after he was hacked up by the hatchet. You can see like the detached eyeball. Sorry if that's too graphic for some listeners, but you can see it depicted on the wall, and it just appeared there after his murder. I also, I went to lie down in the exact spot upstairs where one of the members of the home was, you know, struck. And I definitely walked out of there with a headache. I had a headache that day. And I remember the owner at the time of the Lizzie Borden house, said she would not go back in the house because of something paranormal she experienced. And she would not tell Stephen and I what happened to her, but she was absolutely traumatized by it. And they, you know, you can go spend the night in that house, and they do have like a Ouija board, which is crazy to me because you should not be able to open up portals as a guest staying at that house. That's just dangerous. But that probably explains why the home is extra haunted to this day. But yes, it's absolutely haunted, and it's not just notorious by reputation. What do we got here? Number 8, Bryce in Brooklyn asks, what is a haunted spot that you could recommend a visit to in New York City? Well, I lived in New York City for about 20 years, and I can recommend that you visit the Mark Twain House, also known as the House of Death. I mean, you can't go inside because it's owned privately, but it's on 14 West 10th Street in New York. And it is known, let's just say it's known to have many infestations. There have been reportedly over 20 spirits detected in the house. Now, it's registered as a national landmark. So, and you know what, to be honest, from the outside, it doesn't look that creepy or anything. But just if you want to see something that that is rooted in paranormal, you know, in the paranormal community, I would definitely recommend going by the House of Death, a.k.a. the Mark Twain House. Tiffany in South Dakota asks, my husband recently bought a home. Oh, no, brought. Oh, sorry. Again, not wearing glasses. My husband recently brought home a stone head he bought at a metaphysical store. And it looks like a slab of stone with two seashells for eyes. But we are having some trouble with activity in our home. Could this be the root cause? Tiffany, if your husband bought this at a metaphysical store, it is most likely the cause of activity in your home. And based on the description that you're giving me, I can assume that it might be legba, also known as ilegua, which is used in Santeria. He is known as a trickster, and he is basically the gateway to all, for lack of a better term, spells that occur within Santeria. So there could very well be something attached to it, especially if it's from a metaphysical store. It could have been somebody who bought one, used it, and then brought it back, and maybe the store put it back on the shelf. Or maybe there's just certain energies culminating in that store and it attached to this object. Anytime you get an object from a store like that, you definitely run the potential risk of bringing it into your home. So that is my guess based on your description as to what that could be. And I would definitely remove it from your home, just so you know, or take it back to the store. Let them know what's going on in your house. And finally, Marco from California asks, and this is a very simple question, but I think it's poignant for this time of year. Why is 666 an evil number? And Marco, I have a very simple answer for you. And that's probably why I saved it for the last. In the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it states that here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate that the number of the beast, that calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Now, that part I did have to write down because I definitely would have forgotten, but that's probably why I was able to say it with only one little stumble. But that is it. I mean, it's literally in the book of Revelation, and it's biblical. It has biblical ties to it. So that is why 666 is known as an evil number or the mark of the beast. And I can tell you from having some demonologist friends that 666 absolutely pops up in infestations in homes. So I do believe that it is more than lore, that 666 does have negative energy attached to it. So, I mean, that sums it up. I'm bordering on 20 minutes here, so I think it's time to wrap this particular episode up. Again, sorry for my lack of wearing my glasses, and if there's any kind of sound issues, this is just me testing this new microphone out. But next week, I am happy to say I will be back with a guest, and we will be having spooky topics all month long for October. But until then, this is Brian Hobson for Footsteps in the Attic. We'll see you next week.